percent, 11, anyway, be that as it may, the gospel should do four things. It should warm your heart, stretch your mind, provoke your will, and tan your hide. And don't make me use this. There's there's four words that hinders Christian living. They all start with a D, and I want to talk about as many of these things as time permits. And Brother Sonny said, I believe he said we need to be out of here by 6 or 6:30. Oh, when the ice is gone. Wow, that'd be long enough. These things hinder Christian living. The future of America, if not the world, depends on Christian living. And the number one thing, I think, that hinders Christian living is disbelief. I'll give you the four in case I don't get to all of them. Disbelief, doubt, disregard, and that may be the number one. And deception. I'll start with disbelief, and I give you definitions. And if I give you a definition of a biblical word, it'll be out of the Oxford English Dictionary. This book was written in English. And it's written in English English. The Oxford English Dictionary gives you the definition of the English word in English. Now, the English people don't like what we've done to their language. So, these definitions will be all according to the English English. Disbelief is the action or an act of disbelieving, mental rejection of a statement. Now, we've heard some mighty good preaching this weekend. It will not get better than we've had this weekend. It may get almost as equal, but it will not get better. And there's some that will just simply reject down-to-earth explanation of God's Word. Well, they'll say, well, I know it says that, but I think. Well, that's just simply rejecting the God's truth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Did I get it? No, right on. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then is this man all these things? And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. Listen to this. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. It's not changed. It's magnified today. Jesus' words are just as alive today as they were the day He spoke them.
Amen.
This book is the living Word of God. And they didn't, and He didn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Why is the church not growing? Could it be because of our unbelief? Do we pray and then it doesn't come to pass and we say, well, just as I expected? My dad tells a story about the old woman she was hidden from all of the world behind a mountain. And somebody read to her there that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And she said, well, I got that much faith. And so she prayed diligently. Went to bed feeling pretty good and got up the next morning. There the mountain still was, and she had just as I expected. Unbelief. Isn't that right? Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. Hope you forgive me. I was sick once. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. You know this story, but I'm going to read. I just like to read it, and I like to wallow around in this kind of stuff. Even though this condemns me, it makes me feel good the fact that I still believe that we got the same Jesus and the same rules and the same practices and the same rewards are for us as they were then. They're available to us. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five, don't you remember when I broke the five loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And he said, and they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How is it you don't understand what's going on? Why is it that you don't believe? Why is it you don't remember and believe? Why is it you don't believe that stuff still happens today? Don't you know that we're not out of bread? It's because of your unbelief. He's calling their memory up. Don't you understand that you're not believing I can feed you with just the crumbs? Is that relevant today? Do we not have the same God today? Is He not still in control? Well, tell Washington that, will you? Well, there's a lot going on here. Some young man brought his girlfriend to church with him one time, and she'd tell him what all was going on. And when everything would happen, they'd tell him what's going on. Preacher took his watch off and he said, what's that mean? He said, not a thing. Yeah. Well, I want to, I guess I want to go to one more place. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Unbelief is unbelievable. Hebrews chapter 3. I'll start in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of evil heart, of unbelief. He's writing to the Hebrews. He's writing to Jews. And I do marvel at even more at the unbelief of the Jews than I do of the Gentiles, because they had it all. They had the law given to them, and they had everything. They really had a great advantage. And he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of evil heart, of unbelief. He calls an unbelief evil heart.
Amen, brother.
And departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the provocation. Fast forward to chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If it's not mixed with faith with them that heard it, there's unbelief there. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, again, if you shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom first priest entered not in because of unbelief. Some entered in, not in because of unbelief. And I just keep trying to push this in the back of my mind, and it keeps coming back and interfering with what I'm doing. So I just got to tell Brother Bryce one more Lowrance story. Brother Virgil said, God formed man out of dirt. And he stood him up and he looked at him, breathed the breath of life into him, and looked at him and said, I can do better than that. And sure enough, he put him to sleep, and you're the results. He did. You remember that? Doubt. Disbelief hinders Christian living. I confess to you that probably that would be number one on my list. And it does hinder. It does hinder our everyday life. It hinders our spiritual life. It hinders our church life. It hinders the services. When we diligently pray to God to bless the services, we have every reason in the world to believe that He'll answer that prayer.
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother.
And if we pray in unbelief, It may not have a result on anybody but the one that has the unbelief. Everybody else may go away rejoicing, and he going away empty because of unbelief. And there's another one. Doubt. Doubt is a lack of confidence. It's distrust. Uncertainty of belief or opinion that often interferes with decision making. A deliberate suspension of judgment. Doubt. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Four things. All begin with D. That hinders our Christian living. And there is no real living outside of Christian living. And you always wondered about these people a little. You see, I used to, when I was a kid, I'd watch your adults, and they'd have some white lightning. Turn that stuff up. Man, that's good. And the next morning, their heads are boom, boom, boom. They're drinking water, and they're dying. I've always wondered. That always made me doubt their sanity. Matthew chapter 14. Now what I said. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. I've already read that. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before on the other side while the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed and with waves and of the wind. Now I want to ask you, do you remember the story? Do you remember what he said? He said, we're going to the other side. Do you remember that? Well, just because there happened to come a tumultuous windstorm, and the wind's rocking and rolling and around. Do you suppose that developed a little bit of a doubt? He said, we're going to the other side. But then he reminded, don't you remember all these things? I'll fast forward to verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now this is exactly the way it happened. This is not a figment of some writer's imagination. This is an accurate account of a real happening a long time ago. But the message is just as real for us today because it's the same God as it was then. And what was Peter? Peter said, I want to come. Lord, if it's you, just I want to come to you. And straightway Jesus spake and said, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Whew. Now, he got more faith than I've got. At that point in time, he believed that he could walk on water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You believe that happened?
Yes.
I do too. I believe it happened just like that. I don't doubt a single solitary word of this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, I believe I can relate to Brother Peter. But I want to encourage you. I want you to know there will be boisterous times come in your life. It may not be as violent as this, but there'll be some turmoil come in your life in all probability within the next few days. So it's not always going to be smooth sailing. And I'm saying to you that the same answer today was the answer that they had at that time. When those times come, you go to the one that can get you out of it, believing that he can and will, and don't doubt. He did not many mighty works because of unbelief, and now he's telling Peter, asking Peter, why did you doubt? I said I would lead you across on water. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Man, I have to confess to you, I don't have to, I want to. The times of my real closeness with the Lord gets further apart. I get to letting things of the world pile up and hinder and cause me to doubt. There's been times in my memory. And it's been a long time since I've come in. Now, I've heard some really great preaching and encouraging preaching, and I'm not saying anything contrary to that, but I'm saying from my part, there's been a long time since it's brought me down to my lowest level when I could just cry unashamedly tears of joy and tears of confusion and tears of doubt at the sound of the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Those times get further apart. And it's the same God. It's the same Scriptures. It's the same preaching. Somehow, there gets unbelief and doubt involved. And the only way to up is down. The only way to remedy it is fall on your face and beg God for mercy.
Amen.
And for forgiveness. And what a great God we've got. I'm behind. But I catch up fast. Disregard, disbelief bad enough, and doubts maybe even worse. But this disregard, man, don't you know that hinders your Christian living? just simply disregard instructions. Now, I know that every man in here is guilty. You become lost and refuse to ask directions. You'll circle around and you'll drive around and you'll wander around and you'll say, I know that's north. But why's the sun over there? But would you ask direction? No. You just disregard help. Matthew chapter 19. See, 19 comes between 20 and 18. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, that would have been a good place to tell him, wouldn't it? That would have solved all of the problems of the doubters of grace. That could have solved the problem right there. All he had to do was just say, here, this, this, and this, and this. If it's a 10-point or if it's a 12-point, whatever points it is, that was the place to put it in. What may I do that I may have? What should I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Well, in the first place, don't that indicate he's already got it? Good master? If he meant that, total evidence he's already got it. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. Well, amen. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, that's some brilliant tactics there. Just keep the commandments. Well, he's already in deep water and he's going in deeper. He saith unto him, Which? Which one? Just pick out one or two and I'll do it. Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt do no adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thy father and thy mother. Oh, wait a minute. I think think this guy's thinking. Now, that's more than I asked for. Honor the father and the mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, this has got to be, listen. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Well, I think he believed that. I don't think he was deliberately lying here. And you know, he wasn't even rebuked for it. What else do I lack? He said, What else is it? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. He's getting personal now. And give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Well, you asked for it. But I worked for this. I worked hard for this, and I'm trying to save up just a little bit for retirement. Some of these days I'm going to get to the point I can't go to work every day, Lord, and I'm trying to put a little bit back here and a little bit back there. Get rid of it. Give it away. Give it to the poor. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, what's his problem? Disregard of the instructions he asked for. And I get so tired. I can say this here, and if Mom tells this when I get home, it'll be her word against mine. And technically, in a court of law, that'll be a standoff. But people that know us will believe her.
Amen.
But you cannot imagine how discouraged I get begging and pleading and threatening our people that song services starts at 10:30 at Point Remove Church. And they totally disregard it over and over and over again, and I'm getting disgusted with it. That's another D, isn't it? But what I'm saying is, I'm telling them good instructions. I'm giving them good advice for nothing. I don't charge for that. I charge for the preaching. And they just... No, they don't. No. Total disregard to good instructions. We've got at least a half a dozen people that comes to our church every other week, just as regular as every other week rolls around. And it doesn't matter how much I preach and beg and plead for faithful services every Sunday, and it's totally disregarded. Now, out of that group, there's at least five or six of them that desperately needs to be wet in the baptistry. And they totally keep, just totally disregard for the biblical teaching of baptism. There is a salvation in water baptism that can be had nowhere else. And I'm not a Camelite. But there is a salvation in it that you won't get anywhere else. And why people will totally disregard that fact is beyond my imagination. But it certainly does hinder Christian life. Hinders Christian religion. Christian living. I don't know who it was said it takes a lot of water to run a windmill. Probably a low ranch. What was it, Brother Blanchard said? Don't land that thing in here. Well, there's a lot of places about disregard. Lots in the Old Testament where the children of Israel just totally disregarding. As a matter of fact, the study of the book of Exodus just boggles my mind at the total disregard that the children of Israel had of the visual evidence of the workings of an Almighty God. They I don't think it was disbelief. I think it was disregard. Just let it come. But I want to go to one more.
deception.
I do believe disbelief and doubt and disregard are extremely important in our lives. I do believe it does hinder our Christian living bad. But perhaps deception, to deceive, that may get a little closer to home. We may be easily deceived by worldly things. The deception and deceive and, well, let me give you a definition. Deceive, to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. To give a false impression, valid means well-grounded, being at once relevant and meaningful, logically correct, to make a valid point. So deceive is to cause to accept as true that something that's not valid. To deceive somebody into believing something that's false. Matthew chapter 24. Four, five, and 11, 24. I'll start in verse 3, and then I'm going to read 3 or 4 verses, skip down to 11, and just kind of skip around in this. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? He said, there's going to be a time come when all these, they showed him the temple. I get a kick out of that every time. When they take the Lord out there and go to show him the temple. Yeah. Said, look at this great, magnificent temple. Well, he's telling them, time's coming, it's coming down. There won't be a stone left on another one. And it'll all be down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, they're still looking for that, aren't we? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. How many times in your life can you remember somebody come along and they've had a great revelation and the end of time's coming? And don't it amaze you every time that happens? Don't it amaze you that they get all of their valuables together? They go empty their bank account and they hibernate somewhere with all of their personal belongings. Well, do they think they're going to have to pay? I don't understand that logic. But it happens over and over again. They'll somebody come along and they've had this great vision and they will tell them something about the end of time and what shall be the sign of thy coming and at the end of the world. Well, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Still happening, isn't it? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Man, we need that today. Man, we need that encouragement today. I'm probably the leader of this pack. Well, sometimes I just get plumbed down in the dumps. I get discouraged with the direction that our state's going. I get discouraged with the direction our nation's going. And above all else, I get discouraged of this direction our church is not going. There's going to come a time they're going to deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all of this must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, I'm gonna fast forward down to verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Look around about you. What? It's impossible. It's impossible for my mind to wrap around the big picture of the vast number of born-again children of God that don't have a clue about what's going on in a spiritual life. They're wandering around in a maze without leadership, without guidance, a ship without a rudder. They're being deceived. They're being taught that all's well. They're being taught that everything's doomsday. And somewhere in between there's reality. Deception and deceived and things that are deception. Well, I want to get to some, just briefly now, one or two places about the deceivers. To have deception, you got to have somebody to deceive. And to have somebody to deceive, you got to have somebody to be a deceiver. Do you get the point? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 43. I guess I need to back up 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now there's a test, isn't it? Isn't that right? Isn't that true today? If we don't love Jesus, can we possibly be of God? Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he's still real today and active today and coming in all manner of shape, forms, and fashions. And it will always look good to the natural eye.
That's right, brother.
He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a cheat. And he's taken as many of the Lord's people down as he possibly can. Somebody mentioned the earth at the morning of the resurrection. Well, I don't care if it looks like a fresh plowed ground, because there's going to be all of the born-again children of God are coming out, and all of the born-again, the unborn-again, all of the children of the devil, they're coming out, and they're going to be cast into hell. The others are going to go to heaven, and there'll be no more use for this earth, and it's going to be burned with fervent heat anyway. What difference does it make if every pine tree in the United States of America is turned uprooted? Who cares? And I say, Lord, why tarriest thou? I love my children and I love Port Removed Church and I'd love to see them. But I tell you what, if he'd take us home now, it'd be fine with me. So there are deceivers out there. There are people that will deceive us and rob us and cheat us of spiritual blessings. There are people out there that will rob us and cheat us of natural blessings. My goodness, society has gone to Hades. Well, it took me a long time to figure out a word to clean that up. But society is mocking godly principles. Somebody said last night, we still have the freedom to preach from this pulpit. And I say, amen. Thank God. But I'll tell you one thing. We've already come to the point that we can be arrested and pulled out of this pulpit for preaching the truth about Sodom and Gomorrah. Preaching Romans 1:27 can land us in prison if the wrong person hears it and it's recorded. We can be arrested for preaching against homosexuality. I'll tell you another. This is my soapbox. I'm through preaching. But this is my soapbox. I'm so proud there's a couple of young ladies here. A couple of young men here. Society has turned to the point that no longer does young men treat young women like ladies. Amen. This has been my soapbox. Around the globe, every chance I get in front of a congregation of people, I try to tell them. There's an advertisement that comes on television that makes me want to throw up every time I see it. Advertising some kind of car. I don't know what it is. Don't care. That's not what I get out of it. This old boy pulls up to the curb and he is sitting here admiring his car and his girlfriend comes out of her house and runs down to meet him. Girls, he should come to the door and escort you and open the door for you and help you in the car. And if he don't do it, just stand there like a new looking at a new gate. Act like you don't know how that thing works. Society has led us away from that.
Yes.
And that's all of the D's, all piled into one, and right down to earth. And I'd say where the rubber meets the road, but that's the wrong tire company. I used to work for Goodyear. And that was a Firestone ad.